Welcome to Christ Central Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you're here. Some announcements that you'll find in the bulletin. Next week already is the spring picnic, an annual spring picnic. It's from 5:30 to 7. We would like for you to sign up your attendance if you intend to come. I'll go ahead and say there's a connection card in the seat in front of you, the chair back of the chair in front of you. So this is the best way probably for you to sign up for the picnic. You'll see also that we need some volunteers. You can put that on the card. You can email Lisa at the church if you would like to RSVP that way, or if you would like to volunteer. I'd like to have that count today of who's going to be there if we can get it, so let us know. Also with the connection card, we'd like to know if you have prayer requests, anything that you might like for us to pray for you. And if you are a visitor with us, we'd like to have that as well, how we can contact you and let you contact you again after you've been there. There's a congregational meeting, a called meeting today immediately after worship. So we won't have a whole lot of fellowship time immediately after. We're going to move into the meeting. Being a called meeting, it'll have one purpose, and then we're not supposed to discuss anything else as the way a called meeting goes. And John will clarify that when we start the meeting. And the congregational prayer meeting is tonight at 5:30 in the lobby. College and Career Bible Study is tonight, and RSVP with John. Let him know somehow, John or Diane, that you plan to come. And let's see, there is one more thing. Oh, the coffee talk, since it's next week, I'll go ahead and bring that up. This coming Saturday is a coffee talk thing, and there's a sign-up sheet. I saw it on the table just inside the doors as you come in. That's for the ladies. So you can read about it in your bulletin. If you would like to be part of that, please sign up. The sign-up sheet's out front. I don't have any more announcements, and so we're ready to move into the worship of our great God. So if you would make sure that your phone is on mute or vibrate, and anything else that might make noises turn to silent, that would be great. So if you would take your bulletin now, let's stand and have God's word call us to worship. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. If you take your hymnal now and turn to hymn number 57, let's stand and sing, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, O my soul. Thank you. Oh, Father, as we just sang, our hope is in you. You are our creator. You're the sustainer. You give us all that we need. And you reign forever. And we've come to praise you as that God, that great God above, who deserves our praise, who deserves us to come before you humbly and in awe. And may we do just that. Know that you are present with us and that you will guard our hearts and guide us into worship. So would you do that now and be pleased as we move on. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Our first scripture lesson is various verses from Proverbs. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. There is one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Forbearance may persuade a ruler, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. A lying tongue hates those it crushes. A flattering mouth works ruins. He who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue. The word of the Lord. We come now to a time of confession. Let's pray together. I will lead us, and we'll close with the corporate confession printed in our bulletin. Father, we so often look at the sin of the others and dismiss our own. We're so quick to justify our sin or overlook it. God, especially as it comes to something maybe as simple as how we use our tongue. The fire that we can cause, the destruction. Father, I pray that you'll help us to see these sins, all of them, repent of them, be sorrowful for them. And pray that you'll hear us now as we pray silently our words of confession. And Father, we confess corporately saying, Holy Lord, I have sinned times without number and been guilty of pride and unbelief, of failure to find thy mind in thy word, of neglect to seek thee in my daily life. My transgressions and shortcomings present me with a list of accusations, but I bless thee that they will not stand against me, for all have been laid on Christ. Go on to subdue my corruptions and grant me grace to live above them. Purge me from every false desire, every base aspiration, everything contrary to thy rule. Deliver me from every evil habit, from everything that dims the brightness of thy grace in me, from everything that prevents me from taking delight in thee. Then I shall bless thee, God of Israel, for helping me to be upright. Amen. And our assurance of pardon now that we have confessed from Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our second scripture lesson from James 3, the first 12 verses, will be our sermon text. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ship also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. We who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. The word of the Lord.
Would you join me in a time of prayer now? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to come before you in public worship Sunday by Sunday. We thank you for the greater privilege to have communication with you through prayer. Lord, you know that we know that you always hear us whenever we breathe our prayers to you, regardless of the content. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness of sins. We thank you for opportunities to praise you and to thank you for all the good gifts you've given. And Lord, we bless you and praise you for the intercession you do on our behalf. Indeed, Lord, hear our prayers today. We pray for our world. We pray for those who lead in it, that, Lord, you'd give these men and women wisdom beyond their years. Help them to lead with equity and fairness and justice. Father, we pray for the end of war. We think of places like Gaza and Ukraine, places like Haiti and Syria, where there is political instability, the threat of violence. Father, we pray that you would end civil wars and tensions in the Sudan, Congo, Ethiopia, and other places. Lord, you are the God of peace. And peace comes through Christ. And so we pray that these horrible events will somehow be worked out to advance the gospel and the kingdom of Christ. We pray, Lord, for our nation, for those who lead. Lord, remind us of what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 1, that you, Lord Jesus, reign supreme over all rulers and all authorities and all dominions in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. And so, Lord, help us to take comfort and help us to pray for our leaders, that they would lead as they ought. We pray for our church. Father, we ask that you would bless us. We ask that you would use us in this community to win men and women and boys and girls to faith in Christ. Lord, I pray that you would stir up our members to love and good deeds, and that, Lord, we would all participate 100%, that we would serve you in various ways in this branch of the body of Christ. We pray for future growth. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to sustain us. We pray that we would remain orthodox and biblical, and that we would honor you by honoring your word Sunday by Sunday in all the other activities that we do. We pray for our youth and children and the ministries to them. We pray, Lord, for our young adults, for our college and university students, that, Lord, you would bless all of these and that you would give us more individuals like this to minister to, young families with children. Lord, bless us to that end. We pray for our church staff members. We pray for their families. Keep them safe and close to you. We pray for our officers, Lord, our elders and deacons, their spouses and their families, that, Lord, you would surround them with your love and grace. Keep them close to yourself. Bless them. Father, we think of others who have dealt with illness, who are continuing to heal. At this time, we think of Ed Sellers and Sheila Colbert. And we also remember Sheila's daughter, Lenore Ball. We pray, Lord, for Carol Moberg, for Eileen Cawley. We pray for Becky Yu and for Judy Smith. And we pray for Emily Eckhart and Amanda Nye, as both young women are scheduled to deliver new babies. We ask, Lord, that you would be with both of these ladies and their husbands and bless them, Lord, with the safe deliveries. Father, we pray for those who are confined and away from us. We think of Ron Quick and Pat Barden. And Lord, we pray for those who go on our behalf as missionaries. We think of Don and Leah Vanderplug. We pray for Rodney and Jana Davila. We pray for Dave and Paige Hawes. And specifically, Lord, that you continue to heal Dave's body from his recent surgery. We pray for Aldo Mondin and his family at USF. And we pray for SIE ATN in South Florida and Haiti. Father, we pray that you would bless these individuals, couples, and families. Surround them with your love and care. Provide for all their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, we pray you bless our meeting this afternoon, that we would discern your will and your way. Help us, Lord, to know how you would lead. We ask now that you would bless the remainder of this service. We pray that we would be attentive to your voice in our hearts through your word and spirit as you speak to us. Bless us now, Lord, as we conclude our prayer with that model prayer you taught us many years ago through the lips of the Lord Jesus, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, some of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third scripture lesson from Matthew 12, verses 30 through 37. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This is the word of the Lord. Would you stand now with your bulletin, our offertory hymn is He Will Hold Me Fast. The words are printed in your bulletin, and if you would like the music, it's in the back of the bulletin. Thank you. Pray with me. Father, you are the owner of all things. We are just stewards. Pray that we would steward wisely, that we would give the tithe and the gift beyond in a way that glorifies you, that we would be cheerful givers, that we as a church would be wise in how we use that fund to grow your kingdom and to bring you your glory. May you be glorified now by this time of tithes and offerings, and bless us as we move forward in worshiping you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Please be seated. And as you take your seat, you can look with me at the third chapter of the letter of James. James chapter 3. We're in a series of messages through this letter. And we find ourselves right in the middle of the book this morning. In chapter 3, we'll look at verses 1 through 12. This is the first Sunday of Lent, a time that we mark the 40 days before Easter. It commemorates the time that the Lord Jesus was in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, as he suffered the temptations of the evil one and overcame every one of them in triumph. And so it's a season where we remind ourselves of self-denial, of seeking Christ and recognizing the passion that he went through in order to secure our eternal redemption. I didn't plan it this way, but I think James gives several of these mini-sermons, I would call them, that deal with our conduct, our behavior, that lead us to an analysis of what is going on in our lives, and Lord willing, to repentance and faith and trust in Christ, or we would say a greater dependency upon Him because of these things in our lives. And so James this morning has a famous passage about the tongue. The tongue. I want you to notice four things this morning. Number one, there is a warning to those who teach. That's how James begins. That's in verse 1. And then secondly, the tongue is a small but deadly item in the body. That's in verses 2 through 6. Thirdly, James says no one can tame the tongue. And that's in verses 7 through 10. And then finally, God alone can tame the human tongue. And we'll look at that in verses 11 and 12. But for now, let's pray and ask God's blessing upon our time of study together. Heavenly Father, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart might be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, forgive the preacher, for his sins are many. We wish to see Jesus and him only. May he get all the glory and honor and praise for speaking his word to us. And so, Lord, bless us to that end now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you notice he begins in verse 1 with a single statement and a warning to those who preach and teach in Christ's church. The Bible speaks of God's great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, where all who rejected Christ in this life will suffer judgment and subsequently eternal damnation. But the Bible also speaks of Christ's judgment of his own children. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may be recompensed for his deeds in the body." Romans chapter 14, verse 12, Paul is speaking on the freedom of a believer or Christian liberty, and he's telling each other, stop judging one another. And then he says in verse 12, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." So all Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible is clear that believers will not stand in judgment for their sins. Romans 8:1, read this morning as our assurance of pardon, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we know that salvation is a free gift, according to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Nevertheless, the works of all believers will be examined and judged. And the Bible indicates that the Lord will examine the quality and the motive behind each believer's actions and work on earth. It's a sober reminder that God is always looking. He's always analyzing and investigating, and he calls us to do the same. Now, while James acknowledges the judgment seat of Christ and the Christian judgment, his focus here is on the stricter judgment of those who teach, the fact that they will face this. Jesus said something akin to this to the religious leaders of his day in Israel, in Mark chapter 12, verse 40, and in other places. He says, "Scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you devour widows' houses, and for appearance sake offer long prayers. You will receive the greater condemnation." Hell is going to be perfectly miserable for everybody. But somehow, some way, there are going to be more degrees of misery for some people than others. And that's what Jesus points out here. The Bible's picture of this judgment upon those who teach in Christ's church is one of individual pastors, teachers, presenting their life work to Christ. And the Apostle Paul speaks of this in 1 Corinthians 3. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it." Paul speaks of himself as an architect, building souls. And he goes on to say, "Let each man be careful how he builds upon it. If any man builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, which will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. Yet he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. That passage is directed towards those who preach and teach. Each building, each foundation is Christ, but the structures vary. Some are made totally of wood, hay, and straw. Those materials are temporal and cheap. And there are some pastors and some teachers. They do their work that way, cheaply. They do not invest the right amount of time, but they do it for the wrong motives. And this judgment leads us to search our hearts at that point. Others are made of gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, those are costly and eternal materials. And so it's a reminder that we need to speak the truth. And if I can share my heart with you at that point, this is a frightening and sobering thing. A truth that compels me to ask you to pray for me. Pray for your elders. Pray for those who teach Sunday school. We must deal daily with our own sins as well as with a call of God on our lives. It'd be much easier to read this and say, I don't want to do this. But if you have a call upon your life, then you have the misery of not fulfilling that call. And so they work in tension together. If you're called to do this, you must do it. But do it in a manner that says and communicates, I know I will give an account one day as a teacher in Christ's church. Conversely, it should work against those who would teach for the wrong reasons, the wrong motives. Some people just like to be up in front. And that drives them to teaching and even preaching positions. And that's a dangerous thing. So pray for those who lead in your church, especially your elders, as they teach and preach the Word of God. Now you notice after that, there's verses 2 and 6. He goes on about the tongue in general for all of us. And he says this tongue is a small but deadly part of the body. Look at verses 2 and following. In 2a, he says, everyone sins or stumbles, but the easiest place to stumble is using the tongue. How easy it is to let a critical word slip out, an unkind thought, a word of gossip. In verse 2b, James clarifies that only a perfect man or woman could avoid sinning with his or her tongue or words. He says if a man could bridle his tongue so that he does not sin in what he says, he could bridle his entire body. James makes the obvious clear. No one is perfect like this. No one on earth. And then in verses 3 and 4, James mentions two small items that control two large items. Number one, a tiny bit in the horse's mouth gives the rider control over the horse. And a small rudder on a large ship allows the pilot to steer the boat wherever he chooses. And then in verses 5 and 6, James applies his illustrations to the tongue. He says, although the tongue is small, it boasts great things. Notice in verse 5, the contrast between the tongue and the bit and rudder. The bit and rudder can bring positive results in controlling a horse or something as large as a ship, but the tongue is uncontrollable and capable of negative things, many, many negative things, and ultimately of destruction. James likens the tongue to a spark that can cause a forest fire. Isn't that so? When we say a cross or an ugly word to somebody, we can't take those words back. When we tell a lie, whenever we gossip, when we slander somebody, there's something inside of us that wants to do that. And James goes on in verse 6a, he calls the tongue a fire, the very world of iniquity or unrighteousness. James is saying that the tongue is the most obvious evidence that something is seriously wrong with us as sinners. Number one piece of evidence. Something is wrong. Notice the latter part of verse 6. He continues by saying three jolting things about the tongue. Number one, it stains the whole body. Our tongues reflect the stain or evil in our lives, in our hearts, and the lives of others in the body of Christ. Remember that. He's speaking to believers. He's speaking to believers. Number two, sets on fire the entire course of life. Many relationships have been damaged and even destroyed by things people say. Gossip and slander, and cursing and lies. The foulness of our tongues brings much shame and guilt, and it makes life miserable. All you have to do is breathe a word of gossip, and you can destroy a person, you can destroy a career, you can destroy all sorts of things. And James says, finally, it is set on fire by hell. James clarifies who and what is at the bottom of all of this. It's Satan. It's Satan and his domain of hell. This reminds us that the tongue is one of the greatest tools in the hand of the devil to wreak destruction and havoc in the lives of human beings. Very important to understand that. We ought to be held accountable for our tongues. We ought to hold each other accountable for the things that we say. James begins this section, or this passage of the section, by describing what a perfect man, only a perfect man, can tame the tongue. And his description reminds us that no perfect man exists among us because we're all fallen sinners. Therefore, the taming of the tongue is impossible for us. And he outlines that in the next section. Look at verse 7 and following to verse 10. He says, no one can tame the tongue. Verses 7 and 8, James points out that every species of every creature of the earth has been tamed by the human race. But in contrast, he says, no one can tame the tongue. James likens the tongue to a rattlesnake when he says it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. In verses 9 and 10, James has been outlining the evils of the tongue up to this point. But even in these verses, he becomes more personal. And he includes himself. Don't miss that. He is not talking down to his readers. He is saying, we are all in this mess together regarding the tongue. James draws attention to our inconsistent behavior in connection to the use of our tongue. He says, with our tongues we bless God and we curse human beings who have been made in his likeness. This is horrible and inconsistent. And James is saying, this is the way we are. This is who we are. And we can't do anything about it. It's irrational and evil to praise God, to bless God and curse your fellow man. And James concludes this verse by condemning all of this behavior. Now, you may think, well, if no one can tame the tongue, and I can't tame my own tongue, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. But I want you to notice the way James ends this. It's absolutely exquisite. Look at verses 11 and 12. I love the way James ends this passage. Instead of chastising us, he offers two rhetorical questions, both of which demand an answer of no. And I think James is offering in a very subtle manner a reminder of the teaching of our Lord, which we read this morning in our gospel passage, Matthew 12, specifically verses 33 through 37. Sometimes a gentle reminder can hit like a sledgehammer, can't it? When you read the words of Jesus, he said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. And specifically to the Pharisees, you brood of vipers, how can you be evil? Speak what is good, for the mouth speaks of that which fills the heart. And so James is giving us a very gentle and yet very powerful reminder of the words of our Lord. Can a fountain send from the same opening fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh water. It's a powerful call. Jesus saying to integrity concerning who we are, who we really are, and what we say. And Jesus says all must agonize over this true sense of identity. That's why he goes on in verses 36 and 37. Every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Now understand, Jesus is not saying that your words could actually justify you or to condemn you. What he's saying is they represent what's coming out of the heart. You can say all you want to about loving Jesus. I can say it. But if my tongue does not back up that claim, and if there's not integrity there, then it's time for me to sit down and humble myself and ask some hard questions. Because you see, to tame the tongue, the heart has to be tamed. Because that which we speak is out of the abundance of the heart. Somebody has a sewer for a mouth, you better believe it's coming out of the heart. If somebody loves gossip and slander and passing on words that condemn somebody else or expose things that they've done and throws out their dirty laundry in front of you, is that the right way to do it? No. No. The Lord Jesus, and really in particular the Pharisees, he's challenging in this section of Matthew because they acclaimed his miracles to Satan. He says, you better watch what you say. But it's true for all of us that we need to examine what's coming out of our mouth. It's a powerful call to integrity concerning who we really are and what we say. And Jesus says we must all agonize over our true identity. The tongue gives evidence of the state of the heart. And we know we cannot, on our own, bridle the tongue. Nevertheless, while it's impossible for human beings to control the tongue, nothing is impossible with God. The only way to control the tongue is with a spiritual heart transplant. That is to say, God must invade our hearts and show us our need for his mercy and grace, and then we reach out to Christ for cleansing and for mercy and grace to live as new creatures. You see, in order to clean up the tongue, the heart has to be clean. And when the heart is clean, there is joy and gladness in your soul. And you don't need to cut others down to build yourself up. You don't need to offer slander, and you don't need to offer profanity and other things like that in order to elevate yourself, because your heart has been cleansed. Put another way, the only way to tame the tongue is to welcome Christ into your heart and submit yourself to him. Because the reason the tongue is impossible to tame is just one more way of the Lord showing our absolute need for Jesus and his grace and mercy, that we might rely upon him and cry out and say, Lord, my words are giving away the condition of my heart. I need you. Please come into my life and change me. Cleanse me of all my sin and guilt. And turn me into a new creature in Christ. One that uses words like the Proverbs to build up instead of tearing down. There's plenty of that out there in the culture. And if Christ's church doesn't look differently than that, we might as well turn the sign off and shut down. Because we're supposed to be different than the world. I pray that every one of us would invite and constantly, ceaselessly entertain the Lord Jesus in our hearts, that he would condition what we think, how we act, and what we say. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, during this season of Lent, we consider the Lord Jesus and all the temptations that he suffered in the wilderness on our behalf. He never failed, Lord, unlike us. We fail all the time. Lord, I pray that you would convict us this morning of what we say, and that we would search our hearts so that if we're guilty of this sort of thing, that we would cry out, Lord, in desperation, Jesus, save me from this mess. Be in my heart. Come into my heart. Let me come back to you if that's the case. And I pray that you would clean up my heart and it would show in what I say. Father, throughout this season, help us to look at our lives to examine ourselves, to make sure that we're in the faith, so that we would not be fooling ourselves, as Paul says. And let us begin with this business of the tongue and what we say. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you that where it is impossible for us to do anything, all things are possible with you. And you extend your grace and mercy to all who will take the free gift of eternal life. Lord, draw us to yourself. Cleanse us of all of our sins. And help us to begin anew. And if there's one or more here that have never known you, I pray that you would open their hearts and open their eyes. And that, Lord, you would enter in and save them from their sins. Lord, do all of your holy will in every one of our lives. And we'll give you the praise and glory for it. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a hymn of preparation as we approach the Lord's table this morning, number 246. We'll sing verses 1 through 3 only. Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is very good and right and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God. Therefore, with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to read the words of institution to you this morning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, beginning with verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take and eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Our Lord Jesus Christ left this supper behind for us to enjoy as believers until he comes again. And that means whenever we put out the bread and the wine, we symbolize the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus, how he gave his life on Calvary so that your sins and my sins would be fully and completely atoned for. So every time we come to this table, we take the bread and we take the wine and we look back and we remember what our Lord Jesus did for us. But we also commune with him, albeit spiritually, not physically. But the Lord is here in a very special way, and we know that from other places in Scripture. Whenever the Lord's Supper was observed, it was a serious time. Whenever people came to the table in an unworthy manner, that is, perhaps professing faith but not demonstrating it in their lives, not showing it consistently, people got sick and some people died. And so it's a serious time that the Lord recognizes, a serious time of communion. These elements don't miraculously turn into the body and blood of Jesus, but every time we take them by faith, we are truly, yet spiritually, feasting on the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus, the one who gave his life for our sins. So I invite you to come to the table this morning with this fence. All those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, you're welcome to take the elements. You're a member of in good standing of a local church where the gospel is preached. If you've never made a public profession of faith like that, then this table's not for you. You don't need to leave. We want you to stay. You're welcome. But just don't partake of the elements whenever they come. Our men will come forward and release you row by row. As is our custom, you'll come forward on each side. Take the bread and the wine, return to your seat, and then we will all partake together once everyone has been served. And as a reminder, the outer rings are real wine. The inner rings of the tray are grape juice. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and broke it, as I, ministering in his name, do before you, and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup, and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Father, I ask now that you would take these common, ordinary elements and set them aside to special, particular usage. And we pray that your Spirit would move in our midst and in our hearts as we truly, yet spiritually, feast on the living Christ. Bless us to that end now, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye all of it. Lord God, we thank you for these visible, tangible reminders of all that you did for us. For as we cannot tame our tongues on our own, we could never save ourselves on our own. You had to do it for us. And you did, with a new covenant. Sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to stand in our place and receive the full wrath of God that was owed to us. Thank you. What a great Savior. What a great salvation. Help us, Lord, not to neglect it as we go through our lives this week. We pray that your Spirit would accompany us in all that we say and do and think, and enable us, Lord, to honor you with our lives. Every place that you send us this week and beyond. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals once more and turn back to number 246, and we'll stand and sing the last two verses, 4 and 5. Let's stand together. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.